Welcome to The Lorraine Murphy Show. I'm an entrepreneur on my second business, a mentor, an author, wife to a fellow entrepreneur, and mother to a magical little girl. On my podcast, I explore topics that fascinate me that will help you unlock ideas to rise even higher in your life. Myself and my special guests will be talking entrepreneurship and how to build better businesses, organization and figuring out how to get more shit done quicker and smarter, staying in touch with our soul, and how to blend business babies with real babies. Let's jump in to this week's episode. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of The Lorraine Murphy Show. As always, it is wonderful to have you joining me. So as you may know by now, this season is all about business, and I've been sharing each week different elements of what I believe are the most important pillars in building successful businesses. And this is a bit of a, feels like a different episode because I'm actually recording this on my phone, sitting in a hotel room in Bondi Beach. And I have just finished my own annual business planning for next year, i.e. 2021. And I did an Instagram post this morning saying what I was down here to do. And I said, let me know if you'd like me to share my process with you. And there was a lot of people said yes in the comments. So I've actually finished early, like 3 hours earlier than planned, which I think is because my process is such a well-oiled machine at this point. So I've actually got some time to sit down and record this episode talking you through how I approach this business planning. And I thought it would be really cool to do while I'm still here and in that zone because, yeah, it's super fresh. I've got all my notes around me so I can refer back to bits and pieces so I can really bring the whole idea to life and the whole process to life for you, my beautiful listener. And I'm really going to try my best with this one. To be honest, this probably lends itself better to like a masterclass situation where I'd actually step you through the templates with me. However, the best I can do right now in this period of time is to actually put together this episode. So there will be some different resources I'll mention that are available on my website. So I'll cue those for you as I go through this episode with you. So first of all, I guess the important thing to reference is the fact that why is annual planning important for business? Because I know a lot of business owners, particularly mentees who start working with me, and they don't do any planning in their business. So they tend to be, I talk a lot, if you're familiar with my work, you'll know I'll talk a lot about the difference between being reactive and being proactive in life, not just in business. And I think operating in business without a solid plan is the ultimate in reactive operating in your business, because you're pretty much just at the mercy of whatever is happening in your clients' lives, the business's lives, the world's lives, and you don't actually have something proactive in place that's actually going to get you closer to where you want to get to. So planning is absolutely critical, mostly for that reason, because it actually puts us as the business owner into proactive mode. But also I find it gives me a blueprint for my business, whether it's for 5 years, 1 year, 90 days. I'll talk through all of this in this episode. It also means that when we have a solid plan, we can be really potent with our time. So we're not faffing about doing shit that's not important. We're actually, as much as possible, working to a plan, which means that we know day by day, week by week, month by month, we're moving closer to the business that we dream of. The other reason I really, really love planning is that it helps me track the finances in the business. So rather than saying, oh, I'll just see what I make this quarter or this month or this year, there's a target in place. And I'm going to talk a bit more about targets in this episode as well. And also, maybe the most important one for me. So just, very, very quick context. So I ran my first business, The Remarkables Group, for 5.5 years. I started that business, built it from scratch, sold it to my business partner at the end of 2017. And then I took a few months off. I traveled to Bali with Lexi, moved our family up to the Gold Coast. And then I really started the Lorraine Murphy business, which is pretty much what you're listening to now, in mid-2018. So I've been running this Lorraine Murphy business for 2.5 years. And for the first year of this business, it was very much, putting it very inelegantly, it was pretty much flinging spaghetti at the wall, probably for the first year and a half, if I'm honest, because I had so many ideas that I wanted to pursue when I still owned the Remarkables Group, but obviously my first priority was to that business. So there was a lot of things that I didn't explore, pursue, or create. So when I actually sold that business and had full creative license to do whatever the fuck I wanted, I did all of the things. So there was retreats, there was national tours, there were books, there were programs, there were masterminds. Oh my gosh, there were so many things. So I really feel that probably from mid last year, so mid 2019, I started to get more focused with where I was spending my time and my energy and my money in my business. And then this year, it's been much more structured. And next year, again, it's going to be even more focused. So how I'm seeing this is kind of the first 5 years of any business. Each year, you're progressively getting clearer and more focused on the shit that's really important and the stuff that's really going to move the needle forward, whether that's in terms of finances or creating the time that you want in your life or helping you pursue other goals. So the reason I really love having this planning process in place is that it gives me a lens for what to say yes and what to say no to. Because if I didn't have the plan, I am a chronic sufferer of bright, shiny thing syndrome, as I think many entrepreneurs are. So if I didn't have this plan, I would just be saying yes to whatever came my way. Whereas when I have the plan to refer back to and I say, okay, this opportunity has come in. Is this something I should say yes or no to? Okay, let me check with my plan. Does it actually align with the plan? Is it on the plan in the first place? And if it's not, then there needs to be a pretty solid justification why I would say yes to that thing, whatever it is, because it's going to take time away and focus away from the plan that I put in place at the start of the year and the start of the quarter. So they're all of the reasons that I think annual planning is so important. And I should also say I'm down here, as I mentioned, I'm in Bondi Beach and I have done this. So I came away in June at the end of ISO. I came away and just relooked at my whole 5-year plan for my business. I came away again in September, planned out my 3-month, so my quarterly plan. And then I'm down here now for 2 nights to plan out my annual plan for next year and also the quarterly plan for the start of 2021. And the reason that I really like leaving day-to-day life to do planning, and whether it's life planning or business planning, is that first of all, it just gives me headspace away from the day-to-day. And by that day-to-day, I mean the business. I mean Lexi and looking after her. I mean Wade and, not looking after him. That's not the right way, but just, interacting with him. Just all of that kind of day-to-day stuff, like keeping the house tidy, having my weekly team whip, all of those things. I just find if I get away from physically get away from all of those things, I just have so much more mental bandwidth to think about the possibilities and the opportunities for my plans. And also it just creates so much more space for, I call them soul whispers, to drop in. So I think, much of planning is structured. It's almost like masculine energy where we're setting targets and creating spreadsheets and mapping out all the things with pretty pens. But I think so much of it also is that more feminine energy. So those little intuitive nudges that our souls give us. And I went down to the beach last night. Well, not last night, yesterday evening at like 5 o'clock and spent an hour just sunbaking. So I say sunbathing, Aussies say sunbaking and swimming in the ocean. And it was just amazing. Just the clarity that I got just from having that space away from all of the things. It was really, really powerful. So that's why I really believe in taking ourselves to a different environment just to get that bandwidth. And the other reason then as well is that when we're in new environments, we have new ideas. So when we're in our day-to-day lives, we're generally having our usual day-to-day thoughts, whether that's about our families, our relationships, our businesses, whatever it might be. It's almost like mental wallpaper when we're looking at literally the same wallpaper every day. So for me, it's really important if I'm doing any kind of planning, even if it's planning a book or a season of the podcast, whatever it might be, just to get to a different location. I'm not saying we need to go and stay in beautiful hotels or travel hours to get there or anything like that. For you, it may just be having an afternoon in a cafe that you don't normally go to. Obviously, if you can get away for an overnight to a hotel, that is just, that's the gold standard, in my opinion. But it doesn't need to be that. Just getting yourself into some kind of a different environment makes a huge difference. So I'm here right now and I've had 1 night down here. I'm staying again tonight And as I said, I've pretty much done all of my planning already, which is just awesome. So what I'm going to do in this episode is step you through the exact process that I used myself. In terms of kit, it's so basic. The only thing I have is an A3 sketch pad, so a big A3 sketch pad with no lines on it, and a pack of colored Sharpies. So I love, it's kind of pissed though. I've got like about 20, I think I get a pack of 20 colored Sharpies and they're like beautiful neon colors. And I just grabbed a handful and as I was packing to come down here yesterday morning, I only grabbed, I think I got like 7 pens, which I'm like, that's not enough colors, Lorraine. What were you thinking? So just that color, the colored Sharpies, for any non-Aussie listeners, Sharpies is what Aussies call felt tip pens. So markers in Ireland or the UK, I think. And so yeah, that's all I have. A3 sketch pad and my pens as well. I try as much as possible while I'm planning to be offline. So laptop away, phone away, just so I can really get in the zone. I think that's really, really important. The other thing as well that I really like to do for setting the scene, whether it's if you did my goal setting and goal getting workshop back in, Jesus, when was that one? June. If you did that, you will know that I really believe in treating yourself to some nice things around your planning time, because, it may sound batshit crazy. My belief is that when we're creating plans, whatever energy we create those plans with is essentially going to influence the success of those plans. So for me, something I'm always trying to channel when I'm planning is abundance, space, little luxuries, nice things, a sense of worth, and like, oh, I deserve this and I'm treating myself. So case in point, I've got a beautiful, gooey, crispy brownie here beside me. I also got a new Resonate essence. I'll link to that in the show notes. They're beautiful essences that I've talked about quite a bit. And what I've actually done, there's a store here near me in Bondi and they sell the essences. You can get them online as well. And what I've done since June is I've picked a particular essence to almost like set the theme for the quarter ahead. So from, what was it, July, August, September, I had Prosperity. September, October, it's at this quarter we're in right now, I've got Success. And the one that I've picked for, well, pretty much the year and next quarter is Golden Ascension, which is beautiful. It's all about, unlocking your soul spark, which I love. So just having those little things for you, it might be treating yourself to a really nice massage beforehand, going for a walk in your local, like if you've got a bushwalk or a beach that you walk on, something like that. Just doing some kind of nice things around your planning and during your planning to really, as I said, infuse that planning time with all of the feels that you want to have throughout the time that you're planning for. So as I said, for me, it's abundance, it's space, it's little luxuries, things that make me feel awesome and light me up. So that's how I set the scene. And then in terms of my approach, so to give you, I guess, like a helicopter view of the approach that I use and a bit of a history. So when I started my first business, The Remarkables Group, in 2012, I had NFI, no fucking idea what I was doing. I had never started a business before. The business I was starting was a first-to-market business. It was the first talent agency for social influencers in Australia. And I just didn't know. I mean, I didn't even know what I didn't know. That became clear. But I knew that I didn't know a huge amount. So when I started the business, I kind of had a start, like a business plan to get it started. And then beyond that, I really didn't have anything. I didn't have any templates and I didn't have any mentors at the time who could help me do my planning. So I really did figure this stuff out. Not all by myself, at the help of a lot of incredibly smart people through reading books and attending seminars and so on. But I really did have to start from ground zero with this. So I guess that's what I'm hoping this episode does, that if you're reasonably new to business planning or you feel like you do business planning, but you're just not getting the oomph that you would like to get from it, that this episode will hopefully help you with that structure, because this is the structure that I've worked with, Jesus, for 8 years now. 8 years I've worked with this structure. So I was a couple of months into my first business, The Remarkables Group, and I read what is to this day the best business book that I've ever read, which is Mastering the Rockefeller Habits by an American entrepreneur and author called Vern Harnish. I'll link to it in the show notes as well. And what Mastering the Rockefeller Habits gave me was essentially an infrastructure for success. So Vern Harnish talks about lots of different things around setting the pulse for your organization. He talks a lot about leadership. And he also talks a lot about planning and how to actually plan in your business. And so much of the approach that I do now, I've taken from Vern's work. And I got to see him speak when I was about 3 years into The Remarkables Group. And you would swear I was going to like a rock concert. I was so excited about being in the same room as him. It's very embarrassing. And so Mastering the Rockefeller Habit is that book. Really, really, really suggest you read that. He did do a follow-up book 10 years later called Scaling Up, which Wade is a, he prefers that one. I think Mastering the Rockefeller Habits is the original and the best, but yeah, I'll pop both into the show notes and you can read them and make your own call on that. So something that Vern Harnish introduced me to in his book is the idea of different planning horizons. So the first horizon is your 5 year. So where you want to be, and I'm just going to talk specifically about business, where you want to be in your business in 5 years time. The second horizon then is your 1 year. So where you want to be in 1 year's time. So as I'm recording this episode, it's December 2020. So when I'm actually looking at my 1 year, I'm looking at, okay, where do I want to be in December 2021? The third horizon then is 90 days. So 3 months. Where do I want to be in 3 months? And then the fourth horizon, which is something I've added in, is, okay, what am I going to do today? What's happening today in order to get me closer to the 90 day plan, which gets me closer to the 1 year plan, which gets me closer to the 5 year plan. So horizons isn't language that Vern Harnish uses. It's language that I use. And I just really like it because what we essentially do then is we know where we want to be in 5 years, 1 year, 90 days, and what we're doing today. And really, to all intents and purposes, we forget about everything in between those. So we don't worry about where we're going to be in 2 years. We don't worry about where we're going to be in 6 months. We just focus on the immediate next horizon that we're focusing on. And if we do the plan right, which I'm obviously going to guide you through in this episode, it means that you know that your 90-day plan is on track for your 5-year vision because you've worked them all out in kind of in a sequence together and you figured them out at the same time. So I've used this approach, as I said, for 8 years now, and it's just been the biggest game changer because, I mean, for all the reason I just mentioned, it keeps me on task. It keeps me from saying yes to things that I shouldn't be saying yes to. It also means that I can properly plan my team. So I know what the requirements are going to be from my team in the next 90 days, the next year, the next 5 years, which means that I can make decisions like, okay, in 3 months' time, it's going to be time to bring on that next person. So that was especially helpful in the Remarkables group when I was building more of, what do you call it, like a traditional team where I hired full-time permanent employees who came and worked in the office with me Monday to Friday, 9 to 5. So it was really, really helpful from that sense as well. But it's still very helpful now because my business is a lot more scalable now and I have a remote support team. If building a remote support team is something that's on your to-do list, do listen to my podcast episode, last week's episode, which is all about, I take you through all the different levels of support that you can get in your team and also the 5 golden rules that you can leverage, that you can use to help you build that team as well. Peppermint tea break. Okay, so let's get into this. Now, this is something new, actually, that I did this time, and I really, really liked it because, and I'm going to be very transparent with you in this episode as well. When I went to the beach last night, so my business has gone very, very well this year. We have done pretty much 90% of what we said we would do. There's been some major mess arounds, like 3 of my retreats being cancelled due to COVID, the COVID situation. But overall, I'm really, really happy with how this year has gone. I think the team is awesome. Revenue has been excellent. I'm very, very happy with it. At the same time, last night when I was at the beach, and I was kind of just feeling a bit, what's the word? Discontented? Is that the right word? Over the last few weeks and being very grateful for the amazing, all of the success, but also just feeling like there's just something not sitting right. And what I realized, and this is where those soul whispers come in. When I went to the beach last night and I was just sitting on the beach and it was 5 o'clock and I was just like, holy shit, this is just glorious. And the little penny drop moment that I had last night was like, I figured out the business. That's working really well. But I think in the process of figuring that out, and I'm also going to lump Wade in with this as well, because I mean, for those of you who are aware of his business, it's been really, really, really challenged with the fact that international travel hasn't been possible this year. And what I realized was that there just hasn't been the space. You know, there's been so much work, business work. Then there's, I don't want to say Lexi is work, but you know, lots of time with her and beautiful time with her, but also a lot of logistics time with her. And then running a household and then just the general life admin required just to exist. And I think where my discontentment has been coming from over the last couple of months has just been that sense of, okay, there's just no space. And just that, yeah, I'll talk more about this in Business Highs and Lows in an episode in a couple of weeks' time. But I felt like that was, I wanted to, when I sat down today, when I was at the beach last night, I said, the first question I want to ask myself tomorrow is, rather than jumping straight into the 5-year vision and all the shit I'm going to do and all the financial targets I want to hit and the team briefings I want to do, blah, rather than jumping straight into that, instead what I want to do is just check back in with how I want this business to serve me. Because I think it's a mistake that a lot of us make, me included, is that we kind of set up our lives to run these businesses, forgetting that really the businesses should run to support us and the lives we want to live. And I'm not saying that we want to work 2 hours a week. Some of us do. I personally don't. But it's just that I feel like what happened to me, and I've fallen into this trap a number of times over the last few years since I started my first business, is that the tail almost begins to wag the dog. Like everything becomes geared and set up around running this business as opposed to the business running my life, if that makes sense. So something really powerful that I did today as I started my planning, and I really wanted to share it as part of this episode because I know I'm not alone in feeling this. Ironically, I helped so many of my mentees with this particular feeling, and then I needed to kind of work through it myself again this year. And as I said, this has been a kind of a lesson that I need to relearn every now and then over the last few years. So the question I asked is, what do I want my business to provide me with? And this was my way of getting the dog to wag the tail again. And it was a really powerful question. And I think the great thing was that it flowed so easily. Once I actually asked myself the question, I was able to answer it very easily. So I actually bought a brand new A3 sketch pad to do this planning session today. And so the very first page of my sketch pad here is, in the middle, in huge pink writing, what do I want my business to provide me with? And then off that, then I've written a number of different words. And then off that, then I've illustrated, okay, what do I mean by that? So to give you an idea with mine, I came up with 6 different words that I want my business to provide me with. One is creativity, space, purpose, impact, money, and connection. And then underneath each of those headings, then I've actually written down, okay, well, what does that mean? So yeah, it's fine to say, okay, yeah, I want my business to provide me with money, but what revenue does that look like? What profit does that look like? What emotions does that look like? With connection, for example, I've listed 3 different things. So one of them is collaboration with my awesome team and like-minded business owners. I did a little bit of collaboration with friends who are business owners this year, and I loved it, and I want to do more of that. Another one I had was soul connecting work with my community and clients. And the third one I had was a deep sense of connection with myself. And funnily enough, I figured out as I was working through this, that sense of connection with myself comes from the space. So the space that I've written here, and this is, I want to share this with you because this, as I said, was where that kind of tinge of discontentment was coming from over the last couple of months. And what I said here is that space to respond to my community. I get so many beautiful emails from my community and they just bank up because I just don't currently have the space allocated to actually dealing with my inbox, but immersing myself in my inbox. And I can't, I'm not someone who can just respond to someone quickly. I want to share very considered, thoughtful responses. Particularly because a lot of people share some really big things for them with me as well when they email me. I also wanted space to think and create, space to live. So what I mean by that is the going to the beach, the having the ice cream, you know, not rushing and having to be somewhere all of the time, comes back to that idea of space, to be present with Wade and Lexi, and also have the space to work from anywhere. So I just said Byron or Bali, which I pretty much do now. The only thing I do in person right now, given COVID, is my one-on-one mentoring. If someone's in Sydney or sometimes someone will come up from Canberra, normally Queenslanders will come to see me too, but that will hopefully all be back on the cards next year now that the borders are open. So I wanted to give you just a flavor of that. So the first question, I would really suggest you do this as well in your annual planning. What do I want my business to provide me with? Ask yourself that question, because that and the question, the answers that I gave myself there pretty much influenced my entire planning today. And I swear that's why it flowed so easily, because my intent was so clear going into it and knowing, almost like having a bit of a reset as to, okay, where do I want this to go? Because businesses have a way of taking on a life of their own. And then we get so caught up in the excitement and the fun and the, oh, this is happening, that we just keep going, going, going. And then we almost surface for air, which I kind of feel like I did at the beach yesterday evening, and go, oh, okay, what do I want? And so that's, and you know, the funny thing is that the plan that I've created today isn't, it's not vastly different now that I've answered these questions, but I just feel there's more an element of choice for me in it, rather than saying, okay, the space thing, I think especially is a really big one. So the first thing I suggest you do when you sit down to do your annual planning is to ask yourself that question. Now we're going to jump into the first horizon. So the first year horizon, if you remember, the first horizon is 5-year vision. So where you want your business to be in 5 years' time. Need to be really, really clear here. I relook at this and redesign this every single year. I don't for a second think that you need to set something in stone now for December 2025. And that needs to happen to the letter. Life changes. You know, certain things happen. I know for us, for example, we lost 2 babies to miscarriages last year. COVID has all obviously happened this year, which scuppered a lot of myself and Wade's plans. So things happen. So I'm not saying that this 5-year vision needs to be carved in stone, tattooed on your eyeballs. That has to happen. It's more about just having a North Star in place that you know that when you plan your 1-year vision, your 1-year plan and do your 90-day plan and what you're doing today, that's all laddering up towards something greater for you in 5 years' time. So I last did this in June of this year. So once we came out of ISO, I booked myself that night down here at the QT in Bondi, and I actually mapped that out, and I mapped it out in a lot of detail, way more detail than I've done before. So what I actually did, I've got my sketch pad from that period here in front of me. And what I actually did was I had done a 2025. These are all different things I'd like in my business in 2025. Just writing 2025 in the middle of a page and then doing what you call it, a spider diagram off that in my sketch pad. And then what I did was I wrote all that down again. This is where it gets a bit challenging if I'm not with you one-on-one or in a group workshop situation. I wrote down all of those things. So for example, I've got a big A3 page here and I've got rows going down the page, and I've got online. So that's for me. That's my programs, my membership. That's my love club, my retreats, speaking, podcast, books, my email list, how big I want my email list to be, my Instagram audience, my Facebook, total revenue and the team in order to support me to deliver that. So I did that. And then I did columns going across, starting with 2020, 2021, 22, 23, 24, 25. And what I did was on the furthest right column, I wrote in all of the kind of the wish list that I had created for myself in 2025. And then I worked back from that. I essentially chunked it back until I got to 2020, and that influenced my 1-year plan. So you can be as detailed as you want to be on this. For me, it was just really good. I do numbers. It's fine. So it's not super precise, but just to have a rough idea, okay, this is where I want to be in 2025. This is what I need to do next year in order to get that kind of momentum and work forward from that, was super helpful for me, because I am very good at pulling figures out of my ass and going, yeah, I'm going to like do this for $100,000 next year. And actually working back from that, I'm going, okay, cool, Lorraine, that's fine. But how do you work back from that? That was really, really helpful for me and just gave me more clarity than I've ever had when it comes to the 5-year vision work before. So you're going to have your different headings as I've shared them with you. The ones that I have, obviously each of you listening, each of your businesses are going to be very, very different from mine. However, I just wanted to give you a bit of a flavor of what mine are, to give you a bit of guidance as you go and do your planning. Now, as I said, it's really, really, really important that our businesses serve our lives rather than our lives serving our businesses. So if you are just like, I don't even know where I want to be myself in 5 years' time, never mind the business, I've got a 5-year vision worksheet on my website. If you jump to I'll pop the link to my resources page into the show notes as well. Just jump to that link and you can get my 5-year vision worksheet. And what that will actually give you is a structured 1-page worksheet with which to try, which is start and craft your 5-year vision. So if you're just like, oh, I don't even know where to start with this business plan, start with your life and then work back from there. Design the business that's going to support you to have the life that you want to have in 2025. So this five-year vision and having this squared away gives me, as I said, it's the North Star for the other horizons. Because if we don't know where we want to get to in 5 years' time, essentially we're almost like giving ourselves permission to slip into reactive mode by not making sure that everything we're doing today, over the next 90 days, over the next year, is laddering up to some kind of a bigger plan. Did just want to reference, I just had a thought that I should reference this as well. Some people actually work better to 10-year plans. Wade is, I don't know if it's like a big thinker or he's just more longer-term strategic, whatever it might be. So my husband Wade likes to do 10-year business plans and work back from there. For me, 5 years is great. And so you choose the kind of the horizon's going to work best for you. As I said, I suggest 5 years. The other thing I should say as well that I did when I planned out that 5-year vision again in June, I also overlaid some personal goals onto that and some personal milestones. So for example, I mapped, like Lexi starting school, for example. I tagged in when we would like to buy a house in Sydney. I tagged in myself and Wade would like to spend 6 months living overseas over the next couple of years, when that might happen. So just overlaying almost like, what am I saying? Giving a hat tip to those personal goals as well, just to see where they interplay with the business goals, I think is really, really helpful as well. Okay, so that's the five-year vision. Once we've got our five-year vision down pat, then we dive into our one-year plan. So this is everything you want to get done in the next 12 months. So ask yourself the question, what do I want to make happen in the next 12 months? And that's essentially what I did today. So I checked in with my five-year vision, after, of course, checking in with what I wanted my business to provide me with. I'm just flicking through my sketch pad here. And then I did, it was pretty much 2021 on a page. And I did different headings for all the different elements of my business. First of all, the different revenue streams. So I've got my online programs, for example. I've got my mastermind. I've got my LM Love Club. I've got my speaking, my books, physical products. So physical products and also online products for my store, my one-on-one mentoring, my podcasts and my events. So they are all of those have different headings. And then I just said, okay, go for gold. What are all the things that I could or would or want to do under each of those headings? So I listed the programs that I would want to launch and roughly when I do them. I did the same with my mastermind. So each of the different elements, I did a kind of a mini breakdown underneath them of what I would want to do in next year. And then what I did is I allocated a rough revenue target to each of those. So I said, if I did all of those things, this is the revenue that I could potentially generate from doing that. So goes without saying, this 1 year on a page should be the chunked down version of your 2025 vision. So you should feel that once you've done this, mapped out your next kind of 12 months, that you feel like you've taken a really big, almost like a really big bite of an apple. You're taking a really big bite out of that 5 year vision. So really wanted to touch on something very important. Because back when I was starting my first business and I was doing this planning and I was, okay, I've got to set a target for the quarter. You know, what kind of budget do we want to hit this quarter? I.e. what revenue do we want to make? And I just didn't know where to start. And I remember I just spoke to so many different mentors. I was like, what should I do? I don't know. And what I settled on was like, Lorraine, just pick a target. Like you don't know, particularly if you're, I mean, I still consider myself in the very early stages of this second business. I'm only in my third year of this business now. So particularly when you're in the early stages, you're probably still trying some new things. You've got some things that maybe you're just starting to do something for the second year round. It's very, very hard to pick targets when you just don't know. You don't have the patterns of maybe someone who's had their business 10, 15, 20, even 30 years that they have to lean on. So what I really want to say with this, when you're trying to set financial targets, and this was my lesson all those years ago, 8 years ago, just pick a fucking target. I spent so much time, wasted so much time going back and forth. Should I do this? Should I do that? And just setting a target because I just didn't know. The best thing you can do with a target is just pick one. Pick one that feels like a stretch. Maybe for you, it's 40 grand this year in your side hustle. Pick something that feels like, oh God, that's a stretch. But also, you know that if you had the right support, you manage your time effectively, that you would do that. So pick that figure. And then what you can do, remembering that with this 1 year plan, we're going to revisit it every quarter anyway. So we can always tweak and change and fiddle with it if we need to. But the important thing is that there's just something. I like to think of it in terms of like a GPS. So I put on my Google Maps. I'm trying to map myself somewhere. And I might just say, okay, I want to get to Bondi. And it gets me to the suburb Bondi, but I don't know what street I'm going to get to yet. It's the same with targets. If you just kind of get yourself roughly in the vicinity of where you want to land, at least you're working towards something. And then next quarter, next year, next 5 years, you can really start to get a handle on, okay, this is the pattern of my business. This is what I'm personally capable of. If I brought on another two team members, this is what we could generate, and so on. So just pick a fucking target. Do your absolute best to hit that target and even surpass it. And then beyond that, then you can start to get more clarity on how you set your targets going forward. Another little hack I want to share as well is a tip that I got from Jackie, my kinesiologist. So what I actually do is I share all of my annual plans with Jackie when I've created them. I sent her an email actually over lunch today once I've mapped out my 2021 plan. And I ask her to sense check it and also to share any guidance, any intuitive guidance that she might have come through for me on that plan. And also it just means that when I have my monthly kinesiology session with her, she's essentially programming my unconscious to go and achieve that plan and those targets and those goals. So I tell her everything, the financial targets, everything, team, all of it. She's across. So something Jackie actually taught me a number of years ago is whenever I set any financial targets is to always put a plus after them. So for example, if I want to launch a new revenue stream and I wanted to bring in $50,000 next year, rather than writing $50,000 on a plan somewhere, it's always going to be $50,000 plus. And very, very small little hack, but it just says, we just says the universe that we're open to receiving more if the universe feels like sending it our way. Because I don't know about you, but I am very good at hitting targets on the nose. And to the extent that sometimes I go, oh, I wonder if I had like made a 10% more if I would have hit that too. So small little thing, if you're setting your financial targets, always stick a plus on the end. And yeah, just show that your door is open for further abundance, if it may be available for you and if it's in your highest good to do that. Something else I just want to say as well, actually, on the 1 year plan is I like to plan in terms of calendar years. It works best for my brain. But for some of you, planning financial year is going to be better. So you decide which way you want to do it. I'm recording this at the end of 2020 and it's with a view to setting my 2021 plan. However, that may not work for you. You may prefer to do this process in June, in which case if you're listening in June, hi, I hope 2021 is a lot better than 2020 was. So, okay, there are a few different tips that I wanted to share with you. Okay, so we've gotten up to brain dumping everything you want to do over the following 12 months and allocating some financial estimates against it. Of course, I mean, my business is reasonably low. What am I saying? It's low outgoings in terms of a lot of the things that I create are mostly based on my time and some design time and production time from my team with my team of suppliers. So just think about then as well, if they're big things that they're going to cost you quite a bit to create, then also obviously you want to think about what the expenses are for each of those things as well. And then what I did then today was I mapped that on an annual calendar. So again, just very, very roughly sketched out January to December on my sketch pad and plotted all of the different things that I said I wanted to do over the year and just looked at, okay, is that too squeezy? Is there enough space? Again, remembering, and this is why I was so glad I did that, asked myself that question at the start of this planning session today was, does it actually create enough space? And the answer to that was no, because I was trying to squeeze in another program launch mid next year. And I said, nah, once I actually mapped it out on the calendar for the year, it was just clear there was way too much happening the first half of next year. So I actually took that program launch off the plan altogether. I said, no, that's too much. There was something else I took off the plan as well. What was the second thing? There were two things I kind of cancelled on myself. No, they were the main ones. That was the main thing that I changed. Okay, so then you look at your annual calendar that you've sketched out and say, okay, is all this workable? And also just remembering as well, for maybe those of you who with kids, you might want to not be working over school holidays. There may be a big trip that you want to take next year, whether it's in Australia or overseas. Let's see where we go next year with traveling overseas. So then we look at all the different elements and say, okay, is this going to work? Does it work in with my personal space? Again, remembering that we want the business to be fueling your life and not the other way around, the life fueling your business. So that's what I did. So I mapped it all out in the annual calendar. As I said, I cancelled the program launch because it just looked way, way, way too tight. And at that point, then I felt like, yeah, cool. I've got a pretty good plan. Like, I'm really happy with this plan, and I'm happy with the financial targets for that plan as well. Now, something I want to touch on, and this is definitely mastermind, or this is definitely masterclass material, but I just want to reference it here because I think it's important. When I'm working with my mentees one-on-one or with my mastermind group, I talk a lot about your business pyramid. And what I mean by that is, the reason that I talk about it is that I feel like a lot of us, business and women and male and female business owners alike, we kind of give everything of ourselves to all the different elements of our business. And the issue with that is that not all elements are paying us as much as the other elements, and not all elements are going to have the same amount of impact as other elements. So what I started to do in my business a couple of years ago with this Lorraine Murphy business was to plan myself out a pyramid of my business. So if you visualize a pyramid, just an oil pyramid, as in like the flat bit is at the bottom, and you put it into kind of tiers. And what I do then is at the very bottom of my pyramid, that bottom layer, is everything that I do for free in my business. So, and the reason I'm talking to you about this is I actually redid my pyramid today based on everything that I want to do over the next year. And that very bottom tier for me is my social media, my podcast like this. So I share a lot of my kind of insights, thoughts, IP for free on this podcast, my email. So I religiously send my Monday Mentor email every Monday, my love letter every 2 weeks. And I also host a number of free webinars over the year as well. So that's everything I do for free. And then as it moves up the pyramid, then the price increases, but also, and this is the critical bit, access to me increases. So I go up then the next level for me and my pyramid. It's a little bit more complex now because I broke down some different elements, is my books and my digital and physical products. So for that, you're going to pay $15 to $50 for those things. So that's the next layer up. The next layer up from that then is my virtual events. So those monthly workshops that I've been running every month since June this year. The next one up from that then is my programs. The next one up from that is high-end events. So 1 day intimate events. The next one up from that is LM Love Club. So my membership, which sounds a bit strange because it's $40 a month, it's $39 a month. But assuming that most people, I mean, I think 94% of people have been there since they started, factoring in that retention, really people are committing to like a 12-month commitment. So I estimate that it's just under $480 a year. Then I've got my mastermind, and then I've got my one-on-one mentoring. So that's, if you think about it, each time I go up a level in my pyramid, I'm going up in terms of price, but also I'm going up in terms of access. So if you're reading, listening to my podcast, you're not getting any access to me. Without sounding like an absolute knob here, this is the only way that I can manage my energy in my business, because if I didn't do this, I wouldn't be able to create anywhere near the amount of stuff that I create, and I wouldn't be able to serve my community like I do. Whereas if you're doing one-on-one mentoring with me, you've got, well, if it's Power Quarter Mentoring, you do a 3-hour one-on-one session with me. You have a monthly session with me then for the following 2 months, and you've pretty much got me on speed dial. So I call them my SOSs with my mentees. If there's an issue with a team member or a client, or they've got a document that they want me to review, or a presentation they'd like my feedback on, or a proposal that they'd like me to have a look at, I'm there to do that. So the difference between someone who's paying me $30 to read my book, for example, versus someone who's paying me thousands of dollars to mentor them, it's very, very different. So as I said, it's tricky to explain this on a podcast episode, but my whole point here is that ideally, it's not going to work for every business, but where possible, it's ideal to have a layered approach to your business whereby people, I mean, you can still serve people. Like, I serve a lot of people for free, people who've never paid anything to do anything with me in my business. And so it's just a way of managing your energy, managing your time, managing your investment in your business as well. So I just wanted to give that a hat tip. Obviously, if we ever do one-on-one mentoring, or you're part of any kind of mastermind or accelerator with me, I can teach you more about that. But I did think it was important to touch on here because, yeah, ideally we want to be revisiting our pyramid every year to make sure that we've got enough of a spread across the kind of low access, low cost. up to high access, high cost across their business. Okay, tea break. So I wanted to touch on the pyramid. Now, the next thing, so just quick check in on where we are. We've talked about setting the scene for our planning. We've talked about the five, first of all, getting really clear on our intention for what we want our business to provide us with. We've talked about the 5-year vision. We've talked about the 1-year vision, 1-year plan, and we've talked about the pyramid. So the next thing we want to do is our quarterly plan. So i.e. that the 90-day plan. So this is where the rubber really hits the road, because essentially what you're doing is you're chunking back your 1-year plan to the next 90 days. And I love the 90-day window. This is something Vern Harnish talks a lot about in his work and where I learned it. Because, and I think it's perfect. It's perfect because it's long enough to get something really meaty done. Like if you want to create a new website, for example, or you want to launch a new revenue stream, or for me, I want to create a new program or write an ebook or whatever it might be. It's enough time. 90 days gives us lots of time to do that. However, it's not so much time that we lose momentum and lose focus. And I know for me, back in my employee days, when I'd have my annual review and I'd be so on it with my annual development plan, and I'd be like looking at it every day. And after a month, the novelty would wear off, and gradually that annual plan would get put into the bottom drawer of my desk. And then 2 weeks before my annual review the following year, I'd go, shit, I haven't looked at that for 11 months. And I'd blow off the dust and kind of do as much as I could in the 2 weeks between then and and my review date. So we don't, the annual plan is great because it gives us a blueprint for the year, but we don't want to rely on that for getting shit done, because it's just too long a period of time. We lose momentum. We leave stuff for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 months because we think we've got the whole year. And then it's a mad panic to get shit done at the end of the year. So that's the why of why I love the 90-day plan. So on this, I was just messaging the team before I got on to record this episode. The team's going to hustle. We're going to have this quarterly plan template up on the resources section of my website. It's not something I've shared beyond my mentoring and my workshops before. So it's on there. As I said, I'll link to the resources page in the show notes for this episode. So it's called your quarterly plan. And if you want to grab that, so I don't know if you want to go look at it and pause or come back or whatever you want to do, I'm just going to step through the template. So on that template, you will see that there's 5 rocks. So this is something Vern Harnish talks about. So your 5 rocks are your 5 key kind of priorities for the next 90 days. So you might have, for example, create new website. You might have find 5 new clients. You might have overhaul branding, whatever it might be. And on the template example, I've got one of there's 2 pages. There's one that's kind of got like an example mapped out. And then the second page then is totally clean. And I've talked about in the example one about an email newsletter. So to launch an email newsletter might be 1 rock. And then you've got another one and another one and another one. So first thing we want to do as we break down each of those individual rocks, the first thing we want to do is set our intention. So why is it that we are doing that? So essentially telling ourselves the why of why we're doing it. The second thing then that we want to do is to write down exactly what we're going to do. So step by step, I almost see this like the recipe for a cake. Step one, I'm going to do this. Step 2, I'm going to do this. Step 3, and so on. Then the next thing we're going to write down is how we're going to know it's done. So in the example on the template that I've shared on my website, it's send email newsletters. So how I'll know that's done is that I've sent 3 email newsletters, 1 per month for the 3 months that the plan covers. So that's how you break down each of your rocks. And then, very important, we have a financial target for the quarter, which is like a total target for everything that we will make happen that quarter. And then also, and this is only if it's applicable, we've got a financial target for each individual rock. So in the template example for my website, I've said 10K of new leads from those 3 emails. However, for some, if it's, for example, hiring a new team member or it's launching a new website, there's not going to be a financial target applicable to that. So only use that if it's going to apply. And then the last thing, which is the really exciting bit, is we get to set a reward. So if you're working in a team scenario, then you would set a reward up to you. I always like to set them as ones that the team can enjoy. We can all enjoy together in TRG. We did that a lot. We did every 3 months. Or you might want to set someone that's something that's a reward for you. So whether it's like a little mini retreat or a nice dinner, or I know one of my mentees at the moment has a bottle of really nice gin as her quarterly reward. So you want to identify what your rewards are, because that's what gets us out of bed, or that's what gets us motivated. And we're like, oh, I just can't be fucked focusing on my quarterly plan right now. That's what gets us doing it, if we know that there's, you know, something in it for us in order for us to do that. So that's the quarterly plan. As I said, I think this is probably the most important bit of this whole planning. I mean, it's all important in its own right, but in terms of getting shit done, that quarterly plan is where the absolute gold is at. As I said, it's in the resources section. It will be by the time this episode goes up on Friday morning. It will be in the resources section. And yeah, that's the template that I've used myself. It's different to Vern Harnish's template. He talks about a one-page plan, and I actually just, I love his concepts, his theories, but his actual templates just didn't work for my brain. So I've simplified them a lot. So that template is my one, and it's the very, very same one that I've used for 8 years in both my businesses. And I've done that quarterly planning every single quarter for 8 years. So that's what, Jesus, 24 quarterly plans I've worked with over the last 8 years. So that's the 90-day plan. Now, the next thing then, of course, comes down to what you're going to make happen today. So what I really like to do often when I do my quarterly plans, they are quite overwhelming. Like, there's a lot on there. If you can imagine, I tend to commit to quite a bit when I'm doing these different plans and make a lot of shit happen over that 90-day period. So what I really like to do is then to break this into down into a timeline. So it lives in Google Sheet. It's, as you can imagine, very beautifully color-coded. And I list out down the rows all the different things that are going to happen under arranged by under each rock as a heading. And then across then the columns are each week to the end of the 90-day plan, so i.e. 12 weeks. And then what I do is I block in, okay, when's this going to happen? And then also I allocate whose responsibility that is going to be. So for example, uploading new images to the website would be an AJ job. Creating a sales page for a new program would be Jess, my web designer's job. Scheduling interviews with new podcast guests would be a Danelle job, and so on. And then what I do then is each week I go into that timeline and I change the color code. So what is it? Turquoise is to be done. And then I turn it to dark green once it's done. That's really satisfying. So that timeline to me really brings the 90-day plan to life. And it means that each week there's a very clear list of things that need to happen. And that then Danelle, when she's running our weekly team meeting on a Tuesday afternoon, she checks off that plan. And then we, ideally everything's been done, but if things need to shift for whatever reason, then we shift them at that point as well. So that timeline to me kind of bridges the gap between the 90-day plan and the, okay, what am I going to make happen today? Because you know, if you've got 3 to 4 things on your timeline that need to happen this week, then that's going to have to be put into somewhere into your to-do list between Monday and Friday. And that's when the MITs come into play. So any of you who are familiar with my to-do list template, I talk about the MITs. So getting your 3 MITs, most important tasks, done first. And that's then where the items from the quarterly plan and the timeline start to land into your MITs. And that's how we start to hit that fourth horizon, which is, okay, what am I going to make happen today in order to get me closer to the 90-day plan, in order to get me closer to the 1-year plan, in order to get me closer to the 5-year plan? And what's really, 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 really important, probably most important of everything when we get to this point in the horizons, is that momentum is everything. And I really love Tony Robbins' a brilliant quote. It's in one of my favorite videos that he's shared. And it says, never leave the scene of setting a goal without taking at least one step towards making that goal a reality. So for me, just to give you an example, I've mapped out my full 2021 vision. It's all happening. Well, nearly happening. It will be happening. And then tomorrow morning, because I've got a couple of hours before I need to be back home, tomorrow morning, it's about the rubber hitting the road and actually getting some immediate things happening. So I've pulled out some, where's my list? I've got some immediate actions that I want to make happen in order to get the wheels turning on all of this. And that involves, like, where's my list here? So reaching out to some potential affiliate partners, for example, for programs next year. I'm also going to be running a 5-day challenge next year. So I want all that artwork and the page ready to go pre going away for Christmas, just so there's kind of another thing bitten off before before we come back in January. I want to give feedback to a designer who's working on a particular product for me. And I want to reach out to some, I already know the podcast as part of this planning today. I know what my next podcast season will be, which will run from January. So I want to reach out to some guests about that. So yeah, there's some very key things tomorrow morning. I'm going to sit down and actually get these things moving because that gets me that momentum. So if I was to go back into real life tomorrow and then go, oh God, I need to start all that stuff that I planned out in Bondi, it becomes more and more difficult to do. Whereas if I've bitten off some key things, it means that if I send some emails, for example, then I get back into real life. People have sent me an email back. There's some momentum. It's not starting at all from scratch, because I'm sure you'll agree, starting anything is the hardest part of doing it. Just biting off some tiny, tiny chunks makes such a huge difference in securing that momentum for ourselves. So momentum is absolutely key at this point. Now, what else did I want to tell you? The other really important thing as well then is to get your team across it. So getting your team aligned with what your plans are is absolutely critical. So you may not have a team right now, which is totally fine. For me, I've got AJ and Danelle, who I'm going to be taking across my plans next Monday morning. So at that point, I will take them across the one-year plan, the calendar that I've mapped out, the quarterly actions for next quarter, so that they're fully across it. And the other great thing as well is I'm very good at kind of thinking big, and this is what we can do. And I have a good habit of hiring people who take a realistic approach to things as well. So I really like taking them across it, because, and Michelle has done this a lot in my business in the past as well, just to sense check it and say, okay, Rain, really? You want to do all that in March? You're on crack. We can't do that much. You're going to exhaust yourself. Or no, we can't be selling two things back to back. Like, they'll just kind of take a bit of an objective viewpoint to it as well. The other thing I really love about my team, and Michelle's great at this and AJ's also great at it, Danelle's kind of reasonably new still, is that they will look out for me, look out for future Lorraine. So if they feel like I'm overcommitting, or they feel like, it's almost like they protect my future self's energy, if that makes sense. So they look at it and go, okay, Lorraine, this is all awesome. It looks amazing, but you're only one person and you're going to be delivering a retreat, a new program, 10 intensive sessions, and trying to squeeze in a family holiday in 1 month. Like, that's not going to happen. So I find that really, really helpful. But I mean, again, that alignment, that everyone on the team knows exactly where you're going, that has been my secret sauce in leadership since I started doing this planning process, because everyone knows where they stand. Everyone knows what needs to get done. Everyone knows what their role is. Everyone knows the why, the intention behind it. And everyone can just get on with their plans and make it happen. So that is the annual planning process. That, as I said, that could easily be a one-day masterclass or in-person event when we could finally do in-person events. So I hope that has been helpful and instructive. As I said, it was actually quite nice to do it so fresh off my own planning, because I'm still here. I'm still in it. So it's pretty special to be able to do this with you and, I guess, bring you into the experience with me and what I've been doing today. Quick reminder, I am going to be sending out notes about the business accelerator that I'm planning for early next year, early 2021, which is all on my plan. So if you do want to be in the running, or not in the running, that's not the right word, it's not a competition. If you do want to hear about it first, I'm not going to be announcing these publicly, just because, yeah, it's more of a behind the scene launch for this one. So if you do want to hear about those business accelerators for next year, I'm planning a couple right now, and then we'll see if we might add in more later on in the year if the space, that word again, is there to do that. But do just jump to the link in the show notes and you'll be first to find out about those accelerators as and when they're announced. As I said, the first note's going to be going out this week about them. And of course, I've mentioned a lot about my one-on-one mentoring. If you would like me to personally hold your hand as you work through your 2021 planning, well, that's what my Power Quarter mentoring is for. So that's you, me, for 3 months, blasting through your plans, your blocks. Yeah, just really hand-holding you as you work through that. So I'll pop a link to that in the show notes as well. That's my Power Quarter mentoring, where you work with me one-on-one over 3 months. I love doing that mentoring. Okay, I'm going to wrap up this episode now. As I said, I really hope that this has been helpful. Would love to hear how your planning goes when you get into it. Please do tag me in on Insta if you are using any of the tips that I've suggested in this episode. And yeah, who knows, maybe next year. It's not on the plan right now, but again, if there's space, I might even do something like this in person to actually, as I said, yeah, guide you through this as a one-day workshop. Okay, thank you so much for listening this week. And next week is the last episode. I'm very excited because I'm bringing back one of my most popular guests to talk all things growing pains in businesses. So I'm really excited for that episode. And then beyond that, I'm going to have a little mini holiday season. So some really fun, probably much more personal episodes that I'm going to share as well to get you through the Christmas New Year break. And then we'll be back with the next season mid-January. Okay, my dear, thank you so much for listening. And yeah, as always, love to hear your feedback and what you've put into action from my episodes.
Thank you for being part of this week's episode. It was remarkable to have you. I am always keen to hear your thoughts, questions, ideas, and suggestions for future topics for the podcast. So please get in touch on Instagram. My handle is @LorraineRemarks and through my website, lorrainemurphy.com.au. If you're enjoying what I'm putting out here, please do rate, review, or subscribe to the podcast so more people can find out about it and we can build this special community. Or even better, do all three. Chat to you next week.